We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into the Backliners Podcast, Agro and Barracuda, as per usual. And this episode of the Backliners is brought to you by Factor Meals. Head on over to go.factor75.com/backliners60 and use code Backliners60 to get 60% off your first box. That's code Backliners60 at go.factor75.com/backliners60. to get 60% off your first box. I have to say 60 so much during that read. I've got to be going off on the 60. What's up, everyone? Welcome in. We are going to do our best. No. I just like opened something and then was like losing my mind. This is going to be an episode that we are not going to let be 90 minutes long. It won't happen, okay? Oh my god, they can't hear you. Bro, I literally checked my settings beforehand twice! How does this happen? I change scenes and it just stops working? Is that the joke? Is that the joke, Barra? They still can't hear you. This is the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm gonna lose it. They still can't. I'm losing it, man. I'm losing it. How about now? Say something.
Hello, it's me.
Great. Good Lord. What's the point, man?
Is it working?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
okay.
The same input that I had when we started. I just changed it off the input and back to the input.
I didn't know if it was going to be one of those left ear podcasts or what.
I'm going to have to start like literally during my intro, say 60, 43 times and change the input off and back at the same time. I gotta take my hoodie off. I'm tilted already, man. Good Lord. What's the point, bro, of me doing a pre-show check if it's just gonna not work? I swear on my dog's life, okay?
Wow.
On my dog's life that I checked this exact scene before I went live to see if the audio was working. And it was. And all I did was change scenes, press start streaming. And that's it. That's all I did.
I don't know what to tell you.
Anyways.
Wait, you've been on two different scenes?
Yeah, two different scenes for the little transition.
Oh, I'm on one scene, then I just click the little eye icon to hide the overlay.
Yeah, I could do that, but I've also got the regular overlay and the guest overlay, right?
So
well, I've got to determine.
Make
I mean,
two
I could...
scenes for a guest overlay and then your main overlay.
Barra, if you want to set it up next week and run it, I would
so
happy.
I'm just here to give you some advice if you...
Yeah, here's some advice, Barra. I don't want to hear it.
That's a good suggestion.
No, you're right. You're right, okay?
So
you're right.
What order do you want to go in? Baronic first, then SPL a little bit, then patch notes, or...
We are going to... not talk about SPL at all, because we have to keep this episode short for the both of us.
Is it because we threw too much?
We do. Well, yeah, that too.
Can't talk about all the throws in just 45 minutes.
Right, we wouldn't be able to go over patch notes at all. No, let's talk about Baronic first, and then go into patch notes, and then that's where we're going to do it. This is the final saga of the old Scarabs, the ship of Theseus, Solar Scarabs edition, as a lot of people made good jokes about on Twitter. Baronic has announced that he is stepping down from the team and has wished them luck. There are, you know, Bear and I have some info, but obviously can't share it quite yet. And again, that isn't we know people or anything like that. It's just like, I don't want to do too much speculating or anything like that because it just feels really... there's no way for it to feel genuine. But I believe...
Well, definitely not for me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's just kind of how it is. But just isolated, you know, Baronic-centric thoughts, I imagine we're both just going to say a lot of what we saw on Twitter, which is that, you know, it's hard not to feel bad for the guy. He certainly got the short end of the stick during his SPL run.
Yeah, I feel really bad for him, like, especially this year, getting double relegated. Or not relegated, but losing to double SEC team during both LANs. And then still going through roster change after roster change, and it's just, there's not really much you can do in his shoes, unfortunately. Because I don't think he is the, like... the hard, hyper-carry solid player that can get picked up by, like, the top-tier teams. So he's just going to have to, like, climb his way up. And unfortunately, every time he tried to climb his way up, he's getting basically a short end of the stick over and over again with these roster changes. And it's... I don't think they really forced any of the roster changes besides Bobby, I think? If I remember correctly?
Yeah, I think everyone else just... accepted a different offer.
Yeah, which we kind of knew some... I mean, I talked about something had to change on the Scarabs, something needed to change, but it's just really unfortunate for him that he was just the rock for so long in that team, and now it's, like, a completely different team. And I don't even know if you can, like, correlate Scarabs with Scarabs anymore. Like...
No, it's a new roster.
I feel like... Yeah, I feel like name-wise, like, people are still going to associate the two, but in my eyes, it's a completely different roster now. Like,
yes.
A completely different, quote-unquote, name Scarabs.
Right. Yeah, this is Era 2 of the Solar Scarabs.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just like the Valkyries are in Era 2, you know, the Titans I would consider in Era 2. You know, this is how it's going to be, and I don't think that's an inherent problem at all. That happens in traditional sports all the time. Yeah, I mean, obviously feel for Baronic and hope that he's able to find a more stable place to play next season. I would be lying if I thought that he was an automatic shoe-in to make an SPL roster right away at the beginning of next year. I mean, players all understand better than the average fan how difficult it is to play in the environment that he was playing in. But I think that he still has something... He has some things to work on still that he can improve on at the SEC level, mechanically, more than anything else. And, you know, Baronic in particular, his playstyle is... does not lend itself to changing teammates a whole lot. You know, like you said, he's not the hyper carry Paul mid laner. He's going to make, he's going to be a key cog in the machine. But he's not going to be the one kind of driving it. So when the other cogs are getting, switched out all the time, it's going to be hard for you to do what you want to do. So I certainly, have some sympathy in that regard, but I think that, in my opinion, I think that there have been players in the past who I have been pretty low on during their SPL tenure who have gone down to the SEC and impressed me with how they play, and then even, you know, through the lens of how they played at the SPL level versus how they're playing at the SEC level, I look at a guy like, maybe this isn't the best example because he hasn't gotten another shot in the SPL, but I look at a guy like Joshy, who I thought was, like, okay, bottom end of the SPL, but needed some, was missing some factors. If I'm a team trying to qualify for SPL next year, Joshy is one of the first people that I would call personally. I think that guy has really improved, and you can see it translate to an SPL level team, in my opinion, based on the eye test. So I think Baronic could have a very similar type of revitalization at the SCC level, and I hope that he does. I hope that he plays and is able to find a good roster and compete, because, you know, it's obvious how important it is to him. But I do not think that this situation should auto-qualify him to making an SPL roster next season. In my opinion, even with the circumstances, he has not done enough for me to unquestionably feel like he is a top 8 available mid laner in the world going into season 10.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. Which is just kind of unfortunate, but I think you really like nailed it on the head when you were talking about he needs a more stable roster to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is the style of player that is going to look as good as his team is looking.
Yeah.
And I think he will put himself in bad positions to, like, it, even if it's a call that I don't think he'll agree with, I think he'll do it regardless. And I think there's a lot of other carry-style players out there that will not do that. So he gets kind of brought into that dynamic as well. So, I mean, I also agree with you. I don't think teams are really going to look at him, unfortunately, for next year. I think he'll have to do a bit of a climb again, but he might have such a bad taste in his mouth from the last 18 roster changes he's gone through that he just needs a mental break and a mental reset and just kind of start from the ground up again.
Yeah, I would highly recommend taking a little smite break for him.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know, I think
I mean, he played with two different duo lanes in Fall Split already. Like,
yeah, it's just brutal. It's just really, really brutal. So that's probably the right idea. I also think that this is a good opportunity for a player who, like Baronic, who had a lot of competitive experience but not a lot of SPL experience, and was never necessarily a leader on those teams, like you said, more of a complementary piece. I don't think that he needs to go to SEC and start hard bodying other mid laners and soloing them. I don't think that he needs to change his play style at all. I think that he can be successful with this type of play style, but certainly learning how to be more of a leader vocally and in comms and that kind of stuff. Like, players who play for a while in the SPL and then go back to the SEC have such a wild advantage in terms of how they understand how to play the map and how to work as a unit, that you cannot match that with the SCC's level of practice and competition and all that kind of stuff. And that's not to knock on the SCC. That isn't those guys' primary jobs. SPL is a job. And so if Baronic can take his experience and his knowledge and go down to the SEC and then use that time to build up his in-game shot calling, you know, out-of-game leadership, talking about, you know, what do we want to do, all that kind of stuff, develop those aspects of his game, I think that he becomes a much more valuable commodity in the future. So, you know, hopefully he can get his mental in the right spot and take another crack at it in the future. You know, certainly wishing him the best.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just think he needs to be on a top SEC team before he's looked at again.
Yeah, probably. Okay, let's dive into the 9.11 patch notes. A little bit different with how these are laid out. You know, first, certainly some things to be improved on. We got a lot of feedback on the layout of the patch notes show and of the patch notes themselves. I do think that this is a better way once we get it nailed down. But, you know, we'll kind of get there. In general, I think this is a good place to start, is that the top of the balance section for general. And let's bury, I don't know, are you a RuneScape guy? I haven't played RuneScape since I was like 9. But
I tried.
It's all really cool stuff, and I can tell it's cool. I just don't like get all of it, you know.
Yeah, I tried to play it a while back, like probably 4 or 5 years ago, and just had no idea what I was doing. And the nostalgia factor for me wasn't there, so I just closed it after like 30 minutes.
Yep, that sounds about right for me as well. Okay, on to the balance. Starting the idea, you know, there's been a lot of discussion in the community about Time to Kill, especially post 9.5. And we, as a dev team, have been pretty clear, I think, on what... I think that what has happened was pretty clearly laid out. I felt like it was communicated, but, you know, it's so hard to know what actually sticks in players' brains, and maybe we didn't do enough. It's when you're talking to the same people about the same things, then you try and communicate and go, yeah, well, we talked about it. We've been talking about it, like, internally for months, and then it's like we mention it one time and one thing, and no one catches it, and we're like, how didn't they catch it? But of course they don't. 9.5 was the Time to Kill shift. And then since then, we have been doing a lot of buffs to damage, to items, to all that kind of stuff. And there's been a lot of talk about whether or not we are in a state where we're just completely eliminating the work we did in 9.5. And I think this was an important section in this patch notes highlighted by Ajax that was, we are still so far from where we were in 9.4 and before. It is very, very difficult, like, it to really put in scope all of the cascading effects of 9.5, and we could do a lot of, we have a lot of room until we get back to where we were in like 9.4, and 9.5 was intentionally very heavy-handed, and because we wanted to make sure we at the very least made it feel different, and then if necessary we could just scale it back little by little and try and fine-tune a little bit. And I think that that's been pretty successful, in my opinion. And so, yeah, I just wanted to see if you were, how you were feeling about where we are, like, post 9.5. Do you agree? And I'm not, this is not like a setup in any way. I'm genuinely curious. Like, do you agree that we are still pretty healthily in the middle ground between 9.4 and 9.5? Or do you feel like a lot of that change in 9.5 has been undone?
I would say the early game is definitely still more 9.5-ish, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it feels pretty normal now. Like Time to Kill and everything. And I did die in like 4 auto attacks and 3 buttons today. So that was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Almost said what got. yeah, it feels kind of in the middle to me. I would say like 70% towards 9.4, I think. And then the early game still feels very 9.5, like I'm just shooting a support for like 13 auto attacks and I'm not dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then
9.5 was very heavily focused towards early, right? There was very little that was supposed to change late. So that seems to track to me.
Yeah, it's also true. Like, I'm probably a bit more used to 9.5 now than I was before.
Right.
But even before, like, the mid and late game still felt relatively similar. I still felt like I was dying in basically the same positions. But I'd say we're about 70% on the way to 9.4, which I've been getting... I mean, I assume you saw, but I got literally one shot by a Vulcanolt.
You sure did.
And 95% or 96% by, like, 3 other Vulcanolts, so... I would say we're pretty close to 9.4. And in my opinion, that's where we should be, because I like that the one-shot potential is very fun to me. I mean, I like both styles, but I definitely like the one-shot smite more. It just makes it a bit more punishing, which is more fun, I think, to me.
Yeah, I would generally agree. Obviously, also, like, Aegis being unavailable for SPL use makes a big difference.
Yeah, 100%.
In those types of one-shots, so we'll see coming this weekend. Should be all good to go. But, okay, let's move into the actual things if we're trying to make it quick here, shall we? Talking about mid lane mage buffs and mid lane hunter nerfs. Kind of pairing all of these together. Don't think we have to talk about the overall goals because I think that we have seen very little mage play in mid in the SPL and a whole lot of hunters and assassins being there. So red buff loses some max HP and importantly gets its base magical protection cut in half, keeping its physical protections as is. So I think that should help mid laners be able to clear pretty significantly better. That is a good idea. How that
I didn't realize it was that kind of change. I just knew it was easier to kill, but I didn't realize, like, why. I mean, I did read the numbers, but I mean, that's a smart change.
Well, thanks. That was definitely brought up in the pro Discord at some point.
Yeah. No, sure. That was all you guys.
All us. Bancroft's Claw nerf. Little shield size decrease. Well, by little, I mean a pretty good amount, decreasing it by a third.
Another 0.25 nerf on that item.
Yep. I will say that coming out of midseason, Lermy and I were both convinced that Claw was the best item in midseason by a lot. It took more patches than I expected for Claw to become meta.
Bro, like, I was selling that item from the release and people wouldn't buy it. I'm like, this is so OP.
Yep. Like, I thought so too.
And they just wouldn't buy it, and then it took over and I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
I knew I was right. I knew it.
Literally all the time there are things like that that even now that I won't say that I think that are like, I look at them and I'm like, this has got to be OP. And it makes no sense to nerf something that no one is buying or playing. but I think it needs a nerf, but that's just how it is. Like, it, I don't know. Just kind of funny. Sands of Time. Oh, do you think that this Claw nerf alongside some like Hades changes and all that kind of stuff, we'll get to him in a minute, but Hades finally actually considered good. He's been almost this good. Like, Claw was obviously a huge deal for him.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Claw, he has been this good the entire time I've worked at Hi-Rez, by the way. Like, we say all the time that Hades is always really, really good. People now, like, you know, their API sites and that kind of stuff. I think Casual Smite isn't updating properly or something like that. I think there was another one, but like, they have had Hades, and those sites are close, but not, I would not take those as gospel. They have had Hades in the top, like, five gods in the game for years, and I would say that is pretty darn close. Like, I don't know that there's a time that I can remember that Hades was outside the top 10 winningest gods in the game and high elo ranked in the 6 years I have worked at Hi-Rez. He's been that good forever, I think.
I've also been pushing that god forever and no one plays him.
Yep.
Now they were, but I was like, that god's gotta be OP.
Gotta
be. I think, like, since, like, season 5 or 6, I've been saying Hades is OP.
He's got a 2-second fear, bro. That's how it is.
That's what I'm saying, dude. It's one of the best CCs. Like,
how could it?
If you're playing, like, if you're playing a backliner, Hades is OP. If you're playing a frontliner, Hades is OP. OP. Like,
doesn't matter. About time. Do you think that he's going to be still playable at SPL? You know, a little bit niche?
Yeah, for sure.
Still, like, top pick, top ban, even with his nerf and Bancroft's Claw nerf?
I don't think top pick, top ban, but definitely still playable, 100%.
Yep. This is one of those situations where it's kind of like it's happened with Gwan in the past, where it takes a lot of buffs in order to get a character playable. It happened to Ardeo. Ardeo is a really good example. We buffed Ardeo like 2 or 3 times, and then she took over SPL like 2 years ago or a year ago. I think it was 2 years ago. Takes over SPL. We nerf her far beyond where she was before her initial buff. And she's still, like, top pick, top ban. And it's, like, it's... What do we do in that situation, you know? Like, what do we do? Anyways.
Smite players always do that, especially pros, dude.
Yep. Absolutely.
No offense. Depressed.
Full offense. Sands of Time. I saw a lot of discussion about why Sands of Time, when it was the more popular item to begin with. I've got a couple thoughts on that. I don't, like, feel free to chime in if you want to, Barry, but I'm fine to just kind of solo dolo this one.
You're good.
We are aware, of course, that Sands of Time is the more popular mage starter, but with Guardians and solo still being something that is pretty common right now, and with recently them abusing Conduit Gem and, you know, its upgrades, it just felt a little safe. You know, we could have buffed Conduit and Sands, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have by any means. You know, this is always when it comes down to it, these are often like opinions that we're coming out with. And it just felt for me a little bit safer to go with the one that we know that mages will buy and that Guardians probably won't, not improve the strength of Guardian solos. It's why we were also maybe a little too conservative with the Vamp Shroud rework. You know, we wanted to give mages another viable starter in mid, but this is again a solo Guardian abuse case. If we buff Conduit and Sands, there's a decent chance that Guardians get as much of a boost from it, if not more, than mages. And yes, there are things that we can do, but there's something to be said about, you know, this was a much bigger, like, R11 patch than we do in typical years, in my opinion. For the patch right before the second to last patch before Worlds, I think that there were a lot of shifts already. And just doing the guaranteed hit instead of going for the perfect home run here, I think makes some sense, even if it looks to be a little odd because we're buffing the one that sees the most play already. Does that make sense to you, Barry?
Oh yeah, it makes complete sense. I honestly think it's correct to buff the one that's already being bought because you know what knob to turn and you know how much that will affect. Like, with the mage buffs, with the red buff being easier to kill, with this buff on Sands of Time, like, all the knobs are being turned in the same direction. And if you buff Conduits, like, what's really the point? Because this is a guaranteed knob that we know how it will work.
Right.
So I think this is the correct way to go, honestly.
Thanks, Barry, for backing me up.
You're welcome.
Thoughts on the Vamp Shroud rework? I know...
I love it.
Yeah?
Because, like, thinking about buying Slime and AC, it's like, oh, you don't have mana sustain, so you can't. And now you have, like, a decent amount of mana sustain with the MP5, and I assume you have the Seal of the Passive with your hit minions.
Yep.
So yeah, I think it's a really good change. And it takes it, in my opinion, away from a solo laner item a little bit with the Fizz Prots and Health and makes it into a mid or dual lane item, which is fine for me.
Love to see it.
I think you can still go in solo if you want to, but I don't think it'll be as efficient because the lifesteal is probably not as good and the power is probably nice, but yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Hades wants to go this maybe, but you know, his tainted start has been really good, though he's losing a lot of early clear. All right, we got to pick it up. As per usual, we are behind. Soul Gem, decreased stacks. Now only need 3 to trigger the passive. I think this makes this... I'm a notorious Soul Gem hater. I've always been lower on Soul Gem than most other mid lane players. Your boy's buying Soul Gem with this change, for sure.
OP.
Makes a
OP.
Huge difference. OP. Small Chrono Spending buff, Agni buff.
Jake's loving it.
Yep, you know Benny's loving that too. Agni buff, pretty good Agni buff, I would say. I'd expect to see some Agni buff.
This plus the Soul Gem buff, big.
Yeah. That is big for that character for sure. Anubis, now 11 seconds flat on the one. This has got to make this god really good and ranked at the very least. Like, you should be power farming like crazy on this god now. A 4-second cooldown reduction at level 1. That is nuts.
This is a big buff to Anubis support.
this is Anubis support's worst ability, Barry. That's why we had to buff this one instead of anything else, because Anubis support is right on the precipice.
You put 1 point in that for 14 levels.
Yep, that's all you gotta do.
I mean, it's OP.
OP. Discordia, that's a good support mage. Nothing too exciting there, but
yeah, that's a healthy buff. That's not the biggest change. Nice little 10 across the all the numbies.
Yeah, I was looking at the little individual bouncy balls that come off this ability. We can't buff that, bro. It does so much damage. If you here's the thing, chat. If you are struggling to clear the way with the Discordia, I guarantee you what is happening is you aren't dropping the where the ball explodes on the archers. If you do that, you will obliterate the wave.
To clear the wave.
All you've got to do is don't.
Are you
don't
missing
just
the wave with your Discordia one?
No, because if they if you flick the ball too far and it blows up behind the archers,
no,
you don't get enough. Put it on them. That's all you got to do. You're gonna clear it. I promise. This is another big mage buff. I think this the range on Herald 1 going from 45 to 50.
Why does it say deployable hand attack?
Yeah, that's how we would refer to it internally. I don't know if AJ just like missed it or like didn't. Maybe this is how we typically write these patch notes. I don't know. That's what this ability is. It's a deployable. It's a deployable. So yeah, I don't know if that was intentional or not. But 5 extra range on the 1 is crazy.
Yeah. Well, that ability. Every time I play that god, I'm like, I miss it by like that much.
Yep.
Every single time. Because I just assume that it will go slightly further than it does.
Yep.
So now I'll hit it every time, I think.
When I tell you that I missed every single one at max range in the first test after this change, and I couldn't remember why, and then I was like, wait, Lermy, did you put this change in? And she was like, yeah, I did. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. I overshot every single one of them, I felt like. It was so funny. Nuwa gets 2 seconds off her one. Woohoo. Crush gets some extra early game clear on lane minions and jungle camps.
That's one of the biggest buffs in the patch, in my opinion.
I agree. I would be shocked if Scylla doesn't see play after this. Mm-hmm. Shocked. Zeus, little help for the boy. Not a ton, but the detonate charge, this looks very small, but remember that the detonate damage, it's multiplicative per charge. Like I think it's like 2.8 times the base damage for 3 charges, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
So it matters more than just that 10. Still
yeah,
not a ton,
I was like,
but
yeah, I was like, that doesn't look like anything, but yeah, that makes sense.
There you go. Morrigan, I think this might be one of the single biggest one patch nerfs for a non recently released god ever.
Yeah, agreed.
If this character sees play after this, what do we do? Like, this is an annihilation of this character, I think, at a pro level. We'll see. I mean, she just does something that no other god can do, and that's always really strong.
Yeah, but she's also one of, like, the hardest gods to play against on land, so, you know. We'll see what happens. I am on your page, just to be clear, but we'll see what happens.
I will be surprised. She is really good. Okay, Titan's Bane nerf. Alongside Obsidian Shard, these percent pen things, slowing down a little bit of that late game burst alongside Staff of Mirrodin. All of these, I think, are feeling pretty, you know, obviously I think all of this feeling pretty good because I'm on the team that makes these decisions. But overall, how are you feeling about these percent pen nerfs?
I don't think they do too much. I think it's just a slight twist. But I mean, support players are probably loving it, but from my perspective, since I don't really buy these items,
sure.
You know.
Makes sense to me. Here's some items that you buy, and by some, I mean one. Crusher loses 5 physical power. I think this item is like always teetering on the edge of feeling super busted or super useless. And I haven't tested enough to determine if this 5 power is going to make it feel too useless quite yet. Which side of the fence are you on right now, if you had to guess?
I'm on the I'm not buying that fence.
Nice, we did it.
But I'm also already not buying that item.
Fair enough. You know who is? AMC.
Not anymore.
Maybe. Decrease the swarm damage. It always surprises me how low this base damage is.
Whoa!
It is so low.
No, I didn't realize the top end was cranked down that much.
Yep, lost 30. Remember, it does apply bees, which is a big deal because it double applies bluestone. Once for bees, once for the swarm damage itself. It's what makes him so good at clearing. And then Stinger, this change...
Wait, it does?
Yeah, Barry?
I'm not trolling, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I didn't know bees proc item effects.
I'm pretty sure they do. Who knows? My brain's mush. Maybe I'm wrong. Stinger, also losing a lot of that CDR. Feels a little bad because this is so core to this character's identity, but it's still going to feel really unique and still feel really good to do. It just, you just won't get too...
You don't want to suicide for it anymore.
Well,
you
know? Speak for yourself. I'm getting retrieved!
It's like when you're pulling up and the light turns yellow and you're like... I'm going.
Yeah, I'm getting the stinger, baby. I'm getting that kill down back. You should get a lot less double stinger fights.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which is a huge deal in pro play. I still think he's going to be playable, honestly. But, you know, I can't get into a philosophical discussion here. We're already behind. Actually, we're not too far behind. If AMC... I just have this... the game is just viewed so differently these days. But it doesn't, like, retroactively apply to how older gods are viewed. If Hebo was never released in the game, and we released him as the launch god of Season 10, every single player at a high level would say, this is a mage assassin, right? Like, this is similar to Alquang, right? People don't think of him necessarily that way right now, though. They think of him as a short-range mage. And I do think that there is, like, a distinct difference in players' minds. If we released AMC today, mid lane would instantly be his most popular role. And everyone would just call him a physical mage. Because that's really what he is. Like, he is a physical mage that has good basic attacks as well. I personally am of the belief that obviously the mage pick rate in mid is too low right now. That's why we're seeing so many buffs toward them and all that kind of stuff. I think there is a distinct difference between Kernanos mid lane and AMC mid lane. AMC mid lane does not bother me even a tiny bit because that character is a physical mage. That's all he is. Yep. Like, he's a caster. And I just think that is a different, you know, I know that that is not how everyone feels, and so obviously what I want to happen to the game is what the players want. But I don't know. That's just the way I view AMC in particular. He's deserving of the nerf no matter where he's playing. But I don't know. That's just the way I view it.
Well, I don't think AMC Duo needs any nerfs. AMC Duo probably needs buffs.
Yeah, probably.
AMC Mid...
You're never going to get to play that character in Duo again, bro. No shot.
Yeah, exactly. Like... It's just, he doesn't do much in duo, he dies a little too easily, the lane is way too long.
Yeah.
Even if you get, like, a okay hive network, you can still die to ganks pretty easily. Yeah. And you don't need, like, this OP wave clear anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. To be clear, you know, people in chat are talking about ability hunter versus base attack hunter. I think there is a difference between ability hunter and physical mage. Like, that is still an extra step to me. Like, Uller and AMC are really the only two, and Neith, I think, are the three physical mages. Even Chiron is, like, close. Maybe I'd put Chiron in that category as well. But I don't think that, like, you know, Medusa has been built ability damage in the past. That's still a hunter to me. It's not hard and fast rules. It's just, like, it's a gut check to me.
Yeah.
You just kind of know, you know? I was going to say something that I'm glad I did not. Warding Sigil buff, solo laners, woohoo. Berserker Shield, getting some more mitigation and some physical protection. Mystical Mail, getting some health and physical protection. Runic Shield buff. This item should now be a lot more attractive against those Guardian solos and the Hades solos and things like that. Any of those catching your eye, Barry?
No. Besides Berserkers. I don't know if people are going to buy Mystical. I don't think the buff is that big. I don't think the Runic Shield buff is that big. And I don't know about Warding Sigil. Warding Sigil is awkward because it always comes in those, like, the cute, like, full mitigation builds, haha, look at me. But I don't know if it's actually good.
It is on my set, on my set full mitigation build.
Yeah, it, I don't know if it's actually good or, yeah. We'll see if the SPL still lingers by him.
Fair enough. And then finally, Sledge getting some more physical protections per stack and power, not magical protections per stack, though, because mages need the help. Yep. Some Thorns buffs, baby. More what? Reflect damage on Thorns of Overgrowth and allowing you to reflect more before it breaks. Same with Thorns of Sapping on the reflecting more damage, but increasing the lifesteal debuff on this. Do you expect to get Thornsed?
I do. I do wholeheartedly expect to get Thorns. And I will accept it because Devos are in a good spot. If Trans was the build, I would be like, I'm going to die. But since we have a good lifesteal item, it's not too bad.
There you go. Hades, decreased that detonate damage. Big deal for his early game, which is where he's the most abusable. He abuses others in the early game, making him less good there. Slightly better in the late game, but that number really doesn't matter at all. Think this will be pretty effective. Gilgamesh, now getting HP 5 while the 1 is active. I saw some feedback on this that people didn't really feel like that this, you know, they wanted damage buffs back on him and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just permanently scarred on Gilgamesh jungle, as I'm sure every pro is.
Yeah.
Something that he lacks in solo that he that a lot of other warriors have is some in-kit sustain. You should be able to keep the one up and running very easily in solo or in jungle, but I think that HP 5 should theoretically matter more in solo. We will see if it matters. Very possible that it could not, but I like the direction. We'll just see if it's effective enough to make him good enough in solo, but not abusable in jungle.
Yep, I agree. Good change.
Wukong, I think this passive buff is kind of going under the radar. This is kind of a big deal. Doubling the protections he gets from his passive and then increasing the slow on the 2 and the attack speed slow from 2 to 3 seconds.
Yeah, I think that change is pretty massive.
Yeah, like, I think Wukong is, like, good after this.
Yeah, it depends on how his laning phase is and how, if he gets blown out by the other more aggressive, like, Tyr, Mulan, Hades, like the more aggressive soul laners.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get blown up by those, he has a place. But also, I think tank Wukong and hybrid Wukong are absolute garbage, and full offense Wukong is basically the only way to build him.
Yeah, I really think that like jungle Wukong I'd be willing to mess around with, and if mages aren't good enough to automatically be the picks in mid, like, Darnes was playing Robin mid, bro. Like, give me Wukong with these buffs over Robin mid 14 days a week. It's not.
Well, that was
close.
Without Aegis, to be fair. So.
That is without Aegis, which is a big deal. But I agree that Wukong is a better damage character than tank character. I might be running it down with some Wukong mid in a ranked game soon enough. Okay, some quick relic changes as well. Any of these stand out? I'm not gonna even read them. You just tell me if they're just pipe up if any are getting there because we're getting to time.
I haven't seen any Bracer of Illumination ever.
Yep.
Drown Ankh.
Do you think you will?
I don't know. Probably not. I think the other one's just a bit more consistent, but I literally haven't seen it so much to where I don't even know the range on it or what it does.
Okay.
I just know it like sends something that flies around back and forth, so I don't know like
vision control, baby. It's good.
Yeah. We'll see. Drown Ankh buff pretty good. And the knockback med also pretty good. Scorching Blink. I mean, you're gonna buy it regardless, one way or the other. I think it'll just make people happier when they hit it. Trembling Horrific, kind of funny. I don't know if people actually buy it, but it'll be funny to watch someone get trembled for 3 seconds.
It's a long time.
And then I already liked Hasten Wings, and I already liked Entangling, but I think they're slightly worse than the other support relics right now, so I don't think we'll see those. Sundering Siphon is a good change, because I think that was really good on release, and then over nerfed to where it died, so now I think we'll see play again. Spirit Rope buff, I do think this item was a bit too much anyways for supports right now, so good change. Then also, I think Thieves need a buff as well, because supports were getting blown up nonstop. Sylph buff is cute, but I don't know if it actually changes much. I think he will just die in the jungle if he's going to die, or really he'll pop off. And then Xing Chen buff, pretty good. Gilded bought that today, and it's still bugged, so we'll see. Griffin Wing, like this change a lot. I think we'll actually be pretty good on Ishtar. Maybe like a Hachi and other ADC, maybe like a Huyi as well, where you don't need the extra damage, where your kit can kind of give you the damage that you're missing. Kronos, probably still a dead god. I think he just... Kronos' main problem is his kit, in my opinion, and just he's either... He just needs like three items. He needs to start the game with three items before he feels like he does much.
It would be good.
Dan's buff is pretty nice, and I like that a lot. But I think he's still a good gankable duo laner, so I don't know if he will be seeing a lot of play. Also, I think he's worse with Aegis being back in the game. Hachi buff doesn't really do anything on the two because it's the button you max first. Hachi 1 got a slight buff, so that's cute. Don't know if that will make me pick Hachi. Then Ishtar, I do think that's pretty nice. I assume it's after you hit someone, you get an iframe. I don't know how long that iframe is. I assume it's
you just get it earlier. You got them already, but it's just that it comes out earlier. She had like 100% pick ban on SPL last weekend, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't think she was that great, and then her most recent buff put her like on that like bar of I'm probably not going to pick her to like I'm definitely going to pick her.
Yeah, which is great. Happy to see her play.
And I don't know anything about Serrated. People just buy that item sometimes. Then Bastet got a small buff to her too. And I think she was already seeing play sometimes when she was a good pick. And I think she was like a counter pick to Dodgy here and there. I think Scream was picking in a Dodgy, if I remember correctly. And then Kleena, just a small buff. Nice little 10%. Kleena's weird. I think Scream was playing her as well recently, if I remember correctly.
There you go. I love how I was like, just take whatever ones interest you, and then you actually touched every single one from there. But you did so quickly and efficiently, and I'll give you credit for that for sure. That was good.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for us to get to... That's patch notes. We'll be able to talk more about roster stuff next week. If we talk at all next week, we might actually... since it's Thanksgiving week, I have family in town. We might be taking next week off. Of course, check our Twitters, all that kind of stuff, for all that information. And, of course, we'll be talking as well in our community Discord, our Patreon Discord, which if you want to join, as you should, because I'll be posting some delicious Thanksgiving food picks in there, of course, this upcoming week. Patreon.com/backliners is the place to go if you want to support us directly. And that's where we're grabbing our random questions of the week from. So let's... we can nail these off real quick too. Hyru asked our favorite cartoon/kids TV show growing up. They liked Kids Next Door and Ed, Edd n Eddy. Two great shows, but SpongeBob was formative for my sense of humor, to say the least.
As someone who never watched SpongeBob, I will say does like Toonami count? Like Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah.
Most of the shows on Toonami, I love. That was what I watched most of the time. I think overall, I would probably say Samurai Jack.
Great show.
I really like Samurai Jack. And I went back to watch Ed, Edd n Eddy, and it is terrible.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Awful.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I imagine that did not age very well.
No, like if someone has a soundboard in front of them, it was like someone pressed a sound every second or 2 seconds, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, that like, sounds about right. Can you confirm one thing for me, though? I was actually thinking about this not too long ago. I think I would probably hate watching Ed, Edd n Eddy back, except for one character who I would think is funnier than ever, and that's Rolf. I feel like I would think that Rolf is funnier than I've ever thought that he was as a kid. I thought he was just weird as a kid and didn't really get it. I feel like his like really random things that he would say, the just total non sequiturs, would really like crack me up as an adult.
Yeah, I can see that.
Shout out to Ralph. All right, Odd Otters wants to know, what game do you look back on fondly and have good memories of playing, but there's a 0% chance you ever play it again? It's not 0%, because occasionally Mifflin and I will fire it up and play a little bit, but Battle Right is a game that that I loved, that is dead, Sag. And then, of course, like a lot of old like GameCube games, Castle Crashers on Xbox 360.
Hard to beat the nostalgia, man.
Good night of staying up with all your boys playing split screen Castle Crashers, crushing Mountain Dew cans all night long. Whew! That was the life, baby.
Mine was gonna be Modern Warfare 2, but Castle Crashers hit different for me.
Modern Warfare 2, I feel like I could still go back and play. I'm not playing the new one because I will at some point, but it makes me mad that they just call it Modern Warfare 2 again. It made me mad when they called the last one Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and they've already made Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It just feels so disingenuous, you know.
I feel like the first lot of Call of Duties was really good.
Unbelievable.
And then it exploded after that.
Yep.
In a bad way, and they just started adding too much to the game.
Yep.
And then it just went downhill, in my opinion. I just completely
stopped. Also that we're old. But
that is also true. I remember watching a YouTube video recently about they should bring back the old Modern Warfare 2, and it was do you really miss getting noob tubed off spawn for
nope.
a month straight? And I was you know what? You're right.
No.
I don't miss that.
I don't miss that, but that's why I was just better at noob tubing than them, so it didn't matter.
That was a terrible meta, dude.
Your boy knew every spawn tube in the game. You weren't allowed to run by the Jeep on Afghan out of spawn unless you wanted to get killed.
Yep.
My friends and I would spend hours in private lobbies just figuring out spawn tubes. It was great. I love it.
Yeah, I did the same with nades on control points and I don't even know what the game type was or the name of the game.
I don't think they had hardpoint yet in Modern Warfare 2. I think hardpoint was introduced in Black Ops 2.
Yeah, I think it was before. It was some zone control, and I needed to throw a nade. It was some snow map with the outside bridge or whatever. I cannot remember the
sub base
that was. Yeah, there's so many nade spots on that map, into mid and into the one, I think it was A or whatever, in that tiny building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't remember the name anymore, but yeah.
I went to a wedding of one of my friends I used to play game battles with back in the day. Friends and I were Search and Destroy Game Battle Stars. I say stars loosely, but we were a very good team. Got front page one season, that's all I'll say. That's top 25.
Nice.
And we were literally just pulling up all the old maps, and I could still remember exactly what we all did on offense and defense as a team, where everyone individually went, what angles they watched. I remembered all of my loadouts, where I would go. Man,
dang,
what a great time that was to game. I miss that time for sure. Okay, Timmy Two Shots asks, the favorite spinoff of a pro player's name in ranked, Peel Ma, Walmart Zapman, 2 R's, 2 C's, 2 D's. Great name, of course. yeah, I feel like favorite spinoff of a pro player's name. The only one that's coming to mind is a spinoff of himself. When Zapman was Jenny from the Block for a long time, that wasn't a spinoff of his name, of course. And then when it became common knowledge that he was Jenny from the Block, Jenny Z was a great alt name for Zap's account. I think that would be my favorite.
Probably just whatever Scream changes the name to that week back when he was doing that.
Oh, that was good. Yep, that was good. I did like that. All right, and then last but not least, Hiru or Hiru, I think I pronounced that two different ways across two different questions from them this week. You're now suddenly a part of a professional heist crew/organization specialized in breaking into the largest vaults in the world. What role would you play and be best suited for in this? Hacker, disguised employee, escort/concierge, engineer, etc. If we've seen any of the Ocean's movies or Payday or something like that. What do you think you would do, Barry, in our hypothetical?
I would want to drive or blow stuff up.
Hmm.
Either one of those would be a lot of fun. I wouldn't want to be the guy that's, like, interacting and having to, like, control civilians or do any of that stuff, but driving to get away would be a lot of fun, or, like, blowing up a wall. That would also be cool.
I think I would prefer to be the person picking the lock. Not, like, drilling into the safe or something like that. I want to, like, be really good with, like, lock picking tools and all that kind of stuff, and be able to, no lock can keep me out of there, you know. That's my specialty. That would be my preferred position. I did buy a lock picking set at one point as a bit in high school, and I did get fairly proficient. One of my best instances of trolling, which I shouldn't tell on the podcast because we're going to close it here, but I can and will tell a story about my lockpicking in our post-podcast hangout in our Patreon Discord. Again, patreon.com/backliners is the place to go if you want to be a part of those. They're always a lot of fun, and I look forward to them. Okay, that's going to do it for this week's show. I think we likely will end up taking off next week for Thanksgiving, but take a look at our Twitters, predictions, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. All that info will be there. In the meantime, take a listen to all the other prediction shows. They've got a lot of great stuff. A lot of great games coming out right now. And in particular, TK Breezy and Coney have a show where they talk about just like recent game releases and that kind of stuff. So many good ones that it's definitely worth checking out their show, especially this time of year. But they've got a bunch of other great shows as well. Check them out. And then Factor was our sponsor today. It's go.factor75.com/backliners60. In order to get 60% off your next order there at Factor Meal. So shout out to them. One of the best ways to support the show, of course, is to be interacting with our sponsors. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. If we don't talk to you, we'll be back when we're back. Just who knows when that'll be. That's just kind of how it'll be these days. Oh, I almost forgot to say, we're recording this on Tuesday. That is the plan moving forward, is that Tuesdays have just been better for Barry and I's schedule over the last few months. Makes sense to not try and force it on Mondays. Let's just take the easy route. So Tuesdays at 8 p.m. is the plan going forward. So make sure you're checking us out then. But again, we'll be tweeting about that, all that kind of stuff. Twitter.com/aggro and twitter.com/barracuda with two R's, two C's, and two D's, of course. And an underscore at the end.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for watching slash session, and we'll see you next time. Barry, you know what to do.
Bye.
Oh, nice and clean.
That was clean. Nice. That was good. That was good.
And we didn't go an hour and a half today. Let's
go. I'm so proud of you.
It was really you. You carried that that speed.
No, well, that was all well, you. Was
all around, all around. Thank you.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.